to welcome everybody to our first ever Homeschool Life podcast. My name is Renee Hogan, and I've been homeschooling mama for the last 11 years. I've got four amazing kiddos. One has graduated college. One is a senior this year graduating, and I've got two others that are in high school. I have had the privilege of leading various groups of various sizes over the years, but this last year, I've had the privilege of also being a part of the Homeschool Life team. Last week, as I was on Facebook, I saw a message on one of the homeschool leadership sites. And in that site, I saw leaders just sharing how they're planning for fall. So I went to the Homeschool Life leadership team, and I just said, you know what, guys, we have 84,000 families plus that we are representing with Homeschool Life. And I just feel like we have a platform to kind of make a difference in the community and help leaders who are making important decisions. So that's what we're doing. We sought leaders that are in various parts of the country, as we know that various parts of the countries are seeing just various rules and ways of handling things. They're serving various communities through different co-ops and supports and activities, and the size of the communities they're serving are also varied. So these leaders are leading vibrant, active groups, and they're coming to us with their wisdom, their leadership, and you know what? They're connectors. So we are going to be doing the following. We're going to ask each of our leaders four questions, and we're going to allow each of them to answer those questions, starting from the smallest represented group to the largest represented group. Okay? Sound good?
Sounds great.
Sounds great. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's get started. We're going to say hi to the leaders as well as allow them to answer our first question. So our first question is, what has changed about your co-op since the COVID restrictions have been put in place? Do you have tips on something that has worked well for your families? So first up, we have Heather Risden. She's a board member and treasurer for Christian Workshops of Fox Valley and the co-founder of Fox Valley Free Learners, both in Elgin, Illinois. CWF supports their 11 enrolled families through classes, field trips, and events. And FVFL has 14 member families and promotes self-directed learning. Heather has four boys at home, ages 19, 14, 13, and 11. You're busy. And you've been homeschooling for 9 years. Heather, what has changed about your co-op?
Well, everything has changed about our co-op. They've mostly completely shut down as a result of the restrictions. They're both were very active local groups, and the initial impulse was just every day ask, are we meeting? Are we meeting? Are we meeting? And once it became clear that we wouldn't be meeting, we mainly have just been discussing things like normal on Facebook, which has been always common. We both have Facebook groups and people ask questions, and that's continued. I will say that individually, we have noticed some people who were very invested in a class or an activity have taken the initiative to continue that somehow. And we're just now starting to talk about how we can talk to those people and follow through with that or continue on with that. Personally, I lead a history class, and we kept our discussions going on Discord. And since it's all members from CWF, but we meet three times a week, whereas our co-op only meets once a week. And that class has been very important to me personally. So I didn't wait for leadership or anybody to tell me what to do. I just said, hey, guys, we're going to keep meeting on Discord. And I have to say, we didn't miss a single day, and it's been going well. So we want to also look at a couple other people who've had successes and start sharing what we've learned. At this moment, though, nothing formal at all. We're all just kind of hunting in the dark.
Wow. Sounds like you stepped into something really quickly and found something that worked that is going to allow you to help others, though, as well. So it sounds good. Sounds good. All right. So we have a second Heather with us. Heather Kohler hails from the tri-state area. She lives about an hour from New York City. She is in Longvale, New Jersey, where she has the privilege of leading the Learning Connection. The Learning Connection offers a weekly co-op and private music lessons for 231 students, represented by 91 families. The Learning Connection serves families with children of all ages. What about you, Heather? What has changed about your co-op, and do you have any tips that things that work well?
Well, yeah. So pretty much the same. We can't meet, and we are an extremely social co-op. I am an extreme extrovert, so I have just kind of made my co-op the same. Our co-op almost has that same personality. So we love to get together. We love to meet. So this has been a challenge for us. So some things we've done, we've implemented the Zoom classes online for the classes that can meet. We have a lot of younger preschool classes and whatnot, our kindergarten and first grade, that it's a little bit more challenging, but some of the moms are amazingly creative, and they have actually mailed each family their project, and then they get on the Zoom meeting and do the project together online. So some of our teachers have really become super creative in how to continue on in their classes. And obviously that doesn't work for all the classes, but some of them are really using that to their advantage. Something else we have really done to keep the connection with our group is we do a weekly mom's fellowship where we all grab a cup of coffee, and we do it two times. We do it Friday morning and we do it Friday evening. So whichever one works better for you. And we just get on there and we just spend time together, and we talk and we laugh and we cry, and, you know, we just talk about our lives. And it's a really awesome time to connect with our families and keep that connection strong. So even though we're not physically together, we're kind of keeping on the same page with everybody. And so that has actually worked really well for us. And then another thing we do is we do a weekly prayer time where we meet together on a Thursday morning where we would usually have co-op, and we just pray. People bring in prayer requests. We pray over them. We pray for the group as a whole, anything people need. We're just lifting our group up in prayer together. And so that's helped really keep the unity and that just keeping us connected. Let me think. Anything else? Yeah, so that's kind of what we're doing. I mean, again, we can't meet, so we're trying to fill that void with things we can do, and we're focusing on doing those things and doing them well and being creative with those things. We also have a game night where the moms get together and we play games, so on the Zoom. So we're really trying just to keep that social, that fun, that lightheartedness, because we know a lot of people are having a hard time. And so whatever we can do to encourage them and bring joy and fellowship, that's what we're trying to do at this point.
That's awesome. Now, I'm curious, Heather, is this, are all of these activities things that you have kind of directed, or have you had families that have said, hey, I want to do this and that, and other people have stepped up and taken on some of these social things?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I have such a great team of moms that have come up with these great ideas, and we just kind of throw things around. I share my heart and what I want to do, and then these moms have just come out of nowhere seemingly and just offered up these great solutions. So I actually had none of those things, but I joined them because they're really fun.
Okay. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing, Heather.
Sure.
So Julia Schmidt is our next leader. Julia is the dedicated leader of RISE, based out of Naples, Florida. Julia is a pastor's wife and has it four children?
Five
children.
Yeah.
RISE currently serves 100 active families with 106 students. They've been meeting on Wednesdays and offering 4 credit classes for middle school and high school families. So Julia, what about your co-op?
So
what has changed for you?
So just like everybody else, we used to meet once a week from 8 to 3 to do our classes in the classroom. But now, because of this, we have been doing a lot of our classes on Zoom. And so, and because ours is just dedicated to middle school and high school, we don't have an active group, because a lot of our students are high school, and so they have extracurricular activities or they've got jobs. And so I love what Heather had said to do this, the coffee fellowship and the prayer thing and the game online. I got to see if our families would be interested in that, but it's so hard with our high schoolers. At least I have 3 high schoolers. in this program, and they work still. They're in grocery stores and other things, and so it's hard to be connected with that. So the Zoom classes that we offer have been working really well online. And it seems like the families have been really dedicated to continuing their education in their homes through the online. And so, if kids are not able to because of their job situation, we videotape those. And so if kids can't meet on that particular time in that that morning, then they can see the recording and then do it on their own time later on, which is connected to our website.
Well, that sounds like that's working really well for you guys.
It is. It is.
Have any of your leaders had a difficult time making that transition?
Some of our teachers who are not computer savvy, it was a difficult transition for them. But now that they have been doing this the last month, it's amazing of how their technical stuff has really advanced. And they're not as afraid to use the computer because they've been forced into learning how to do Zoom and learning to do more things online. And so it's really been kind of a blessing in disguise for those teachers who are not computer savvy like me. I've been forced to learn how to do these things, and it's really helped us. And the families too.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
So Rebecca Gall, she is from the Phoenix, Arizona area. She co-leads one of five branches co-ops that exists in this area. She is with the branches Chandler Group and serves 109 active families with over 300 students. Branches offers opportunities for babies through seniors in high school. The members meet on campus on Mondays with five class periods, offering extracurricular, for credit, and just for fun classes. By taking part in at least one of Monday's classes, members can also take part in the various field trips and social activities offered other days of the week. There's also a Phoenix area branches sports league that they can take part in as well. To describe the community, Rebecca said they're a community consisting of hardworking and creative volunteers. Every parent who participates in the co-op lends their own unique talents and abilities to make the co-op thrive. This personal investment is what makes the co-op so special. So, Rebecca, what has changed about your co-op since the COVID restrictions, and do you have any tips?
Well, like everybody else, I would say the biggest thing that has changed is being able to meet in person. And we have, it's not just about a co-op, like meeting someplace like for classes, you know, like with all of you, I'm sure it's that building of community where there's support for parents and there's, you know, places for kids to make friendships and to grow together. And, you know, that's the most devastating thing is not having the opportunity to be in face in person right now doing those things. Not only is it our class days on Mondays, but throughout the week, we always have different things going on, like park days, and we have teen events, tween events, elementary, we have field trips. Right before this happened, we were planning our father-daughter dance that didn't get to take place. And so there's so many more activities during the week that have been impacted by this. And it's just, it's really hard, you know, for people not to come together and be able to have that support. So we've been trying to really make use of our Facebook to communicate with families there. One thing that we jumped on right away was trying to get our classes onto Google Classroom and just using that as a platform for teachers to be able to still have their classes and kids to be able to sign in and meet. And we got that up and going fairly quickly. And where we found some teachers, some parents were wanting to get on right away and were comfortable with that. A lot of our community, you know, moms and even kids, is like they haven't used this kind of technology before, like you were saying, Heather. And it is... you know, kind of getting past that fear of the unknown. And so we held a training session online. One of our moms is just amazing, and she's really great with technology. And she held an online training session for anybody that wanted to sit in and watch how to actually use Google Classroom and be able to facilitate that for their group. But we run off of all volunteers. We don't have any teachers that are paid currently on our campus. So it wasn't an expectation at all that, you know, when you're signing up to teach a class, that you're going to be teaching your class through technology in an online platform. And so, you know, trying to be very respectful to our volunteers is just what they're comfortable with and what they're willing to do at this time. So we found that some teachers were willing to do that and take their classes online, and others were, well, maybe we'll come back in the fall and we'll offer our class like for a discounted rate since we didn't get to finish it, or, you know, allow those same kids to sign back up and take the class again that didn't get to experience the full thing. So that's been the biggest thing that has changed, is this, that kind of shift from a meeting in person to trying to get everybody up and running for with technology for facilitating their classes. And that's something that we would like to take forward with us into our future sessions.
So our fifth co-op that we're going to be talking to is led by Carolyn Bedward. Did I say your last name correctly, Carolyn?
Yeah.
Okay, great. She's coming to us from the suburb of Seattle, Washington, where, unfortunately, the first case of coronavirus in the U.S. happened. She is one of six board members that supports the operation of Homeschool Connections. Homeschool Connections' mission is to partner with parents to educate and equip students by providing arts and academic classes from preschool through high school in a supportive, Christ-centered community. Homeschool Connections meetings are on Mondays and Wednesdays. There are over 260 families and over 500 students meeting in their group. Carolyn, what has changed for your group since COVID, and do you have any tips?
Started about early March, because the situation around here just started a little earlier. So we've been on Zoom, and so the Monday and the Wednesday class are separate. It's kind of like two individual days. So we have about total of just slightly under 100 classes, about 50 classes each day, that usually meet from like 8:30 to 3:45. I mean, that the stretched and the earlier and the later end is for classes that require like an hour and a half. So all, I would say about 95% of the classes went online, either primarily through Zoom, or some of the small percentage like art and craft kind of teacher that will pre-recorded videos, which will work better for them. I mean, even but they also, some of the craft teacher actually use Zoom, because you can have multiple camera. So they can focus on their craft. So they do use Zoom, but it's recorded and just distributed. Like Zoom does have things like breakout room, which is really useful for like small group discussion, or even like small group drama or musical classes that they need to practice with the partner. We usually have a prayer group once a week with the moms on site. That has been moved to online on Zoom. And communication wise, we have Facebook, we have Homeschool Life Forum. And so those are pretty normal communication already. So we just kind of use those.
You said something that I have a question about. You said that Zoom has breakout rooms. So if you are in a larger class setting in Zoom, you can actually do breakout rooms with videos. Yes. So like in the same. Really? I was not aware of that. That's pretty interesting.
One of our drama classes has 42 students. It's a dual class, dual cast production. So that one, so the breakout room, it's really easy. You can divide them ahead of time, or you can you can also divide them instantly. So the teacher that used that is like an English teacher with like discussion pair up. You know, they do that. Drama and choir. And maybe even like band if it's a big one. So anything that And also there's there's also like with some of the more activity oriented classes, like communication for high schoolers that are taught by one of like more like a youth leader type of teacher. So he wants to have more fun. That's also a polling that he can create. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, that's a little bit of things like that. But I think what we learned, the tips, I would say, I think I think, first of all, I think as leaders, I think just it's important that we all united in Christ, in our goal and our mission. So I think when crisis come, it's been amazing how everybody have their own talent and own gift and just even people's skills. And we have people step up to just be willing to help. So, and a lot of grace. And I noticed that one of the biggest things we did not realize is, I think slowly we come to see that people under stress will probably project anger and frustration mm-hmm. toward an issue that is not what is under layer, what they're dealing with. So we learn to also extend more grace and understanding, because that's just some of the things that we noticed. The tip that I would say, like, and we
that's
are
great.
our co-op, you know, do charge for classes because we have teachers that are in a more professional level. So so yeah, that, you know, when money involved, that's a lot of stress there too. So that's the kind of things that I think, yeah, I mean, we all just have to rely on God. I mean, it's not our doing. And I think organization-wise.
Question number two, this is a bigger question. So this is more of what I guess brought me to saying, hey, how can we be a resource for other people as they're planning for the future as well? Taking those lessons that we've learned from this year and being able to apply some of those to our future is great. I hope that we are all able to meet in person in the coming year, but we might still want to take even some of the things that we've learned, but we're also in a place of great uncertainty. So as we look to planning for the fall, are you charging ahead as normal, or have you made adjustments to your normal planning in this unknown time? For example, are you taking any steps to alter or change the way your co-op functions? Are you attempting to offer or develop online content where you were not before? Are you making contingency plans in the event that you are unable to meet in larger groups? Are you planning, are you making plans to use masks and practice social distancing at co-op? So we're going to start with Heather Risden from our Illinois group. What do you have to say?
Well, Renee, you are definitely right in that this is a great opportunity to learn some bigger lessons. I would say one great lesson that luckily we've already learned is to have a cushion, because with a small group, if you can't collect enough deposits, it's possible that you might have to say, hey, we can't run next semester because we don't have enough people. So our numbers are very important to us, and we keep tight track of those. But really important, when we became a 501c3, both groups, we said we need to, you know, step up a little bit, be a little more responsible, and make sure we have at least a semester, if not a year's worth of money in reserves in case anything ever happens. And sure enough, we're very fortunate that we have that now. So we've decided to put off collecting deposits until the very last minute so that our families can focus on the financial realities that this crisis is causing. But also because we're small, we've been able to put class planning on hold, because it makes a big difference to us if we have 7 families or 15 families as far as making sure we're offering something for all ages, because that's our goal, is that we have something for all students. So I will say that was one big lesson, that if people haven't had a cushion, if groups don't have a cushion, that from now on that they're starting to do that. That's one of my big recommendations. But I also think that as leaders, we shouldn't spend a lot of time speculating, like wondering, oh, when are they going to open things up? When are they going to do this? When are they going to do that? I don't know about the other states that we have here. But in Illinois, love them or hate them, I have to say our governor has been very clear about recommendations. And even if your state isn't being clear, probably your local school districts are. So we just made a blanket policy that we're going to do whatever the schools are doing or whatever the host church is doing. So when they open up and meet again, that's when we're going to open up and meet again. And this also keeps our members from constantly, what are we doing? What are our plans? We'll know when they know and we're going to do what they're doing. So that's been helpful. I have one more thing I want to share, because this is an idea that, as far as a contingency planning, I think there's really just three options. Everything's going to open up again. We'll be allowed to gather in small groups, or we're going to continue on like we are with shelter in place. And something that we want to do that we feel homeschool life is unique in that it could facilitate is we were thinking of, instead of having a grid of classes for a co-op that meets once a week, that we would try and get in touch with all our contacts, because we've been a co-op for 20 years. And we have a lot of parents that have gone on to just teach classes on their own and out of their homes. And we're like, what if we put together a network of all these parents who teach all these wonderful classes? And instead of a co-op that's one day a week, we make the registration grid on Homeschool Life, which is all this network of teachers. And it's local, so people know they're dealing with local people, but it could be online if that's what needs to happen, or if they start allowing us to meet in groups, we can go to their houses, and it allows us to be flexible but still keep these local connections. So we haven't fleshed out the details of that, but that's what we've been talking about for contingency planning, is to figure out a way to keep these local classes going and even grow that to include all the area teachers that offer classes.
Wow, that's some really good ideas. Thank you so much. I love that. So Heather Risden, one of the questions I do have for you is, what is the size of the city of Elgin, or that area?
About 100,000 people.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you. Heather Kohler from New Jersey, what do you have to say?
Okay, so I have found that there's something calming about charging ahead as normal. So, for example, we don't even cancel events on our website until we absolutely have to. We're not discussing the possibility that we're not going to meet in the fall with our members, because I feel there's a lot of panic, and there's with this uncertainty, the more uncertainty we bring brings more panic. So what we've kind of done is also what the other Heather had said, like, we basically blanketly say, hey, we're going to do whatever the schools are doing. So whatever the schools are doing, if they're going to wear masks, we're going to wear masks. If they're going to open, we're going to open. And then kind of just being like, listen, we're going to continue our grid. We're going to work on our classes for next year. We're going to design field trips for the summer. I feel like it's giving people something else to think about other than focusing on this situation at large, which has really helped some of our moms who are really struggling with anxiety and fear at this time. So we're kind of keeping things moving and keeping things going. Now, of course, the administration, we're all talking about, well, we may have to change this or that, but we can deal with that when it comes to it, instead of doing a blanket, we're never meeting again, or we're not going to see anyone until September, because I feel like that has caused more harm to some of our members than if we just take everything week by week and kind of slow it down. So that's really helped our group as far as that. Let's see what else. The other thing is, yes, we're really, and our administration is in constant prayer for our group, and we're just really seeking God's wisdom, because here's the reality is he knows this. This is his ministry. This is his group. And we are confident that he has the perfect plan for us. We just need to follow his leading. And so at this point in time, we have not been led to make any long-term changes, but we are willing to do that if necessary. So that's really where we're at. I don't like to speculate what's going to happen in the next few months, because a couple weeks before the coronavirus really hit, none of us had any idea what was coming. So I don't want to speculate into the future that, you know, we're definitely going to wear masks and we're definitely going to do this. We're really trying hard to just bring a calm and not go to the what ifs And that's kind of where we're at. But yet we understand, like, I love the fact that everybody's talking about these Zoom meetings and these breakout meetings, because we have implemented many of those things in this time. And I feel like we could easily carry that through to next year if we had to. We're hoping we don't have to, but we're able to carry that through if we need to. So that's where we're at.
So Julia Schmidt from Florida, what about your group?
Yes, well, we just had a teachers meeting about a week and a half ago, and we're actually discussing this very topic this coming Wednesday, because this Wednesday is our last day before we break for the summer. And so we started our registration back in February, and we opened up for the fall. And so many families have come to me and said, what are your plans for the fall? What are you going to do? And so our meeting that we had a week and a half ago through Zoom, I asked the teachers up front, I said, are you willing to do Zoom again if we have to do the stay in place at home when it comes to fall? And I said, I know it's not ideal, but would you be willing to continue to do Zoom online classes for our new fall classes? And so they all agreed it's not what we would like to do, but we're going to push forward saying, yes, we're going to still continue our education through our RISE program. And if we have to do online, then we will. But the ideal is to get back into the classroom. And so we're going to discuss even more of what we want to really touch on and make sure that we're going to do it well. If we have to stay online, we want to make sure that the classes that we are offering is to the best of the ability of technology, just to keep families connected. So that is our plan as of right now. And like Heather had just said, that we leave it all in God's hands. We know that God is in complete control, and we just have to listen and be humble. It's a very humbling experience, because I'm a person who's very organized, and so this is out of my control. And so I just have to say, okay, I just have to let go and let God and trust his will and his vision. And he's got a vision for all of us all over the world. And so hopefully this will all come to an end. But I think we'll all be stronger in our own communities because of this.
Thank you so much. I love hearing, I love hearing from you. Rebecca Gall, what about your group in Arizona?
Well, just for a sense of, you know, we don't know what the future holds, you know, like what you guys said, it's all in God's hands. And we're planning for the fall right now, like just as normal. We're pushing ahead for that. We have a lot of people that are excited about what the classes are going to be and what that looks like. I think it gives them something to look forward to, that this will be able to, you know, continue. We don't know what that's going to look like. And so kind of like what Heather said, like we're planning, we're putting together our classes right now. We're working on our fall schedule, and we're just kind of pushing forward like as is. But behind the scenes, you know, there's other conversations that are taking place. And, you know, our leadership group is looking at what exactly does that look like? Like what, how can we prepare for this for the fall? If this is something that's going to be coming back, we don't want to be stuck in the same spot, you know, like where, some of our classes are online and some are not. And so it's definitely conversations we'll be having with teachers, is that as we go into the fall, you know, we want to make sure that, like you said, Julia, like when you guys did the teacher meeting, talking with everybody and making sure that they're comfortable doing online classes if need be. And, you know, that could look something, we've talked about different things, like also just letting natural attrition take place. Every semester, we always lose some families, and then we have a waiting list and we add families as well. And so some of the things we've been talking about is like letting natural attrition take place. We know that we're going to lose some families, and maybe not replacing them when the fall comes up. And that would allow for our classes to be a little bit smaller, so we don't have as many people, you know, like in a space sharing classrooms. Our classrooms kind of vary. We have large classrooms and small classrooms, small meeting spaces. And so just to kind of, you know, just free up that space and not make it feel like as congested when we're there. It could be things like, you know, implementing like a new cleaning policy, maybe after each class, you know, everything is wiped down, having hand sanitizer as the kids come into the classroom. Is it something to where we have our kids that are six and under are in a room together all day working on their program? You know, do we need to Maybe look at having a thermometer and taking temperature as kids come in and just making sure they don't have a fever. What's going to work best for our families? Like, what's going to make people comfortable and feel good about coming and being in a group setting like that? Because we want to have a place for our community. And so just different options of things that we're looking at. But it could even be like we run a 14-week semester, and maybe we split up our semester to look a little bit different, where maybe during flu season, maybe that's when we take our classes online. And instead of meeting in person during those times, maybe we have, you know, 3 or 4 weeks where we're taking that offline and we're doing our classes online during that time. Or maybe we're changing our meeting dates a little bit to work around that, so we're not impacted like we have been during the summer. So just a lot of different ideas that we're throwing around and looking at that, you know, are just behind the scenes things that we're looking at, because we realize how important it is, how important this community is for families. And we want to be able to continue that if that's the way it's supposed to be.
Good. Thank you so much, Rebecca. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. All right. Carolyn, what about your group in the Seattle area?
We are currently working with sending out teacher surveys and asking, I mean, in different range, like, what will you be willing to teach if, you know, if we get back and we need to do like 2 weeks, 6 weeks, 2 months, you know, like just try to get the threshold, what teacher will be able to handle if we stay online. Also, we have family that, you know, some family, online doesn't work for them as well. So they want to know what it's going to be like before they commit, because we are currently doing registration right now. And the difficulty is some of the teacher might be, if they take the supply fee, that might not be refundable because they might have spent the money already. So we are working out those issues right now, having teachers meeting tomorrow and sending out survey and try to answer families' questions. But we don't know. But, you know, like, we just had a quick board meeting this morning. And one of the things is, I mean, even though it's unknown, I think the school need to know. So I think as it get, you know, after the school is out, I think that's more pressure for the governor to like let the teacher know. I mean, also the school, so that's going to be, you know, things are going to come on. Yeah, so just, and then if we need to meet and, you know, but, you know, keep social distance, we kind of had a plan before, thinking that we had to do that back in March, so we might implement some of that. But the, you know, the challenge will be for things like choir, musical theater, or like people, you know, band with instruments and things like that, that's kind of difficult to use the mask. So we have to come up with some answer for that.
Wow, that's really good. So kind of a few of the things that I've heard that I think embody a lot of the things is I really like where Heather was talking about making sure that you have that cushion, financial cushion. And I'm just thinking about that financial commitment that families are maybe a little bit hesitant to put forward, not knowing what the future holds and how that can really provide that comfort. But also hearing over and over about that providing the normalcy of like, let's plan things as normal so that we can provide comfort and hope for our families. But also knowing that we're going to be going by the local school policy so those families have that comfort as well. There are so many more ideas that you guys have in there, but that's kind of some of the wrap up thoughts that I had that kind of flowed through a lot of what you guys were saying there. All right. So our next question is, what have you learned from this year's altered plans that might benefit your group or support your families in your group going forward? Heather Risden from Illinois.
Well, Renee, for me, this has really been a time to reflect on the reasons that I joined a co-op in the first place and try and incorporate any of that into our board member discussions for launching our groups. I know that most people join co-ops to make connection, and we were no exception to that, but some of those years that get really crazy, and at the end of the year, you're like, wow, I did 3 weeks of social studies, and even though I have this whole big thing, there's all, every time we've had a year like that, the one thing we always got through were our co-op classes. And whether it was a class I was teaching and just the fact, okay, we're meeting Monday, I have to plan this lesson and execute it, or a class my kids are taking that I was not comfortable teaching, so it always let slide, like art, it would be like, Grant, did you have your notebook? Did you do your assignment? Whereas if it were just up to me, I would have let it slide after week one. So health of my co-ops, though, ahead of the needs of family, because in the beginning I was just so thankful for my group and all that it was giving me, that as my kids got older and their needs changed, I didn't really stop and think about what their needs were in relation to our co-ops. And especially once I got into leadership, I just kept doing the same thing that I'd always done, thinking it would still work for my family the way it used to. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who experiences this. So what I've learned, what I really gained from this, is this chance to pause and reflect and think, what do we really need from our co-op? And I'd like to, when we start talking again about what next fall will look like, really talk to every member individually and say, ask them this question that you just asked us. What did you learn from this downtime, and how can we incorporate that into our co-op next fall? Because like I said, we're small, we're flexible, we're nimble. And I actually think that if we reinvented ourselves completely based on what we learned in this time, that that would be exciting, that that would be something I would look forward to. So that's us. And I think that is going to vary wildly from those of you with larger groups, because we're able to reinvent ourselves. And we have been anyway, because as more and more families start homeschooling who aren't necessarily homeschooling because they love homeschooling, but because they're dissatisfied with public schooling, they're looking for more direction, more guidance, and they really don't want to lead a co-op or teach in a co-op. So our membership has been slowly declining. Like I believe it was Rebecca or Julia said, they get attrition every year. Unfortunately, our attrition has been outpacing our signups, so we've been changing anyway. So I think this will be a good opportunity for us to change our mission to reflect what this new generation of homeschoolers needs and not just cling to how we've always done things in the past.
What a great reflection. I love that. Mm-hmm. Heather Kohler from New Jersey. I'm always making that distinction because there's two Heathers. What would you say to this?
Honestly, we have learned really to trust the Lord with our group even more, because like I said, it is his ministry and he has a plan for this group. We've learned to be more flexible, and that change, while challenging, can be an opportunity to let others rise up and shine in their giftings. So, for example, those moms that are really into technology and are really savvy with that or really creative, this has been such a great opportunity for them to use their giftings in a greater way in our group. So that's been good. Being able to go out and do the different Zoom meetings and the different online activities and figuring out how to do science experiments with everyone in the group together. I mean, we've really become more creative as a group. And then the other thing we've learned is to really make sure we're connecting. As you know, as homeschoolers, sometimes we can be isolated. Some of us are not extroverts, and those people that are not extroverted, we really need to reach out to them. And this, more than anything, has really shown me how much I need to, as a leader, encourage my admin team to really, all of us need to reach out to these families. What can we do? How can we help? The meetings we have online just to connect with each other personally is really drawing our group together, and I'm seeing positive things. So the flexibility is important, and I mean, for us too, we're also having to move buildings this year, so we have so much up in the air, but the more we have up in the air, the more we give it to the Lord, and the more he makes our path straight. He really is in charge of this, and as we focus on that, he is going to make everything work out. And he's going to bring creative solutions. So
I love that you have seen people step out and found new giftings in your group, and that's awesome. That'll be great. Julia Schmidt from Florida, what about your group?
Well, what I have really realized is I didn't know how dedicated our homeschool families were until we went online, because I thought with being online, it's hard to keep people accountable when you don't see them on a weekly basis. But it's really been amazing of how dedicated and connected our homeschool families have been to sign in every week, and how dedicated our teachers are. I give them hats off, because they've really had to change their way of teaching to going online, which is not their forte. And so to see how dedicated these teachers are to give them weekly reminders of, okay, so here is the Zoom meeting number, and this is how you get on, and just the different instructional directions that they do every week to get the students to hand in their assignments, because they have to upload their assignments onto the classroom dashboard. And so now I think it's brought the families and the moms and dads even closer to what the students are learning, because they get to see personally in their room or in their homes what these teachers are teaching their children. And so I think even more the families have been very grateful for what the teachers have done, because with our RISE group, the families, the moms and dads drop them off and then they leave, because it's an all-day affair. Mm. So the moms and dads don't really get to see what happens in our classrooms, what the teachers are teaching. And so now the moms and dads are really appreciating what the teachers do to continue their child's education. And so now it's been really interesting, because those families who don't read our weekly, or before this all happened, they weren't really reading our weekly. I would send out weekly stuff to them. And then I would get something the next day saying, oh, what's taking place? And so now that they have to be forced to do all this stuff online, now they're reading all of my emails, which is wonderful. And so I'm getting less questions, and they're taking on the responsibility of reading those wonderful emails, which I'm very thankful for.
Yes, absolutely. Rebecca Golf, what about branches in Arizona?
Well, I would say there's three areas that really stand out of things that we've learned as far as what we've been dealing with for the last couple of months. And community support, technology, and then the roles that our parents play are really the big ones. And community support, it's really, I think it goes back to show, like, we are homeschoolers and how much we need each other, and we depend on each other, for support. And that's just evident. And so I really like what Heather was saying about, doing the moms connect, meeting up and still having the prayer time and doing things like that, like not letting those things fall by the wayside just because, we're not meeting in person. There's a way that we can still make this happen. And the technology piece of it has just been huge. And not just from a parent standpoint of, parents getting on and learning Zoom or learning Google Classroom and, not being afraid to get in front of a camera and projecting themselves into people's houses, where it's one thing, where you have a classroom that you're teaching, you have, 12 or 15 kids in a classroom. But when you're going into somebody's house, it's like, then you might have other siblings that are watching, or the parents are in the background watching, and that can be a lot of pressure on a teacher, especially if it's just a mom stepping up to teach a class and it's their area of expertise, but it can seem a little bit intimidating. And so the technology piece has been huge, but not just for parents, but for the kids. I think this is really something that they needed. I think it's one of the differences between probably public school kids and homeschoolers is we do so much of our work together with them, side by side. And when they're going to school, they seem to have, a little bit more experience. And I could be wrong here, but with PowerPoint, with doing a lot of presentations, getting a lot of things together like that, and really being comfortable, with technology in this kind of setting. And the kids have loved it. We've heard so much feedback about how They have just loved getting onto Zoom. They loved getting onto Google Classroom. They love being able to see and present and answer questions. And, you know, we even had one of our teachers did, they ran for office for mayor, and they got on and they dressed up and they, you know, did their presentations and everything. And it was just, it was the most awesome thing to see. But for the kids to get on and learn the technology like that has just been huge. And so that's something too, we would just love to just take that piece and carry it in going forward. Is it somehow incorporating more of this, whether in a classroom setting or whether or not they meet outside of the classroom doing this, would just be absolutely for sure something that we need to keep going because it's been so good. And then the third thing, like the parents' role, just seeing how parents step up and how they shine. Sometimes, you know, you kind of come into a co-op and you're like, oh, it might be easy to teach a class, but something like this happens. And then, you know, it's like they might find that they have another gift in another area. And it's like, you know, I have this idea for something and I want to run with it. And it's nice to kind of freshen things up and have people take different roles and see, you know, where their creativity is.
That's great. One of the things that you said, Rebecca, made me think of an idea that I had read from somebody else. And that was, having Zoom office hours outside of class as a teacher, that sometimes they, with their classes, they need to have conversations with parents or follow up with a student, and that it's kind of hard. And being able to take what they've done with Zoom this year into the future so that they just kind of set aside office hours, but people have to set up, people sign up for them ahead of time so that if you don't have anybody showing up, you're not just waiting around your house for 2 hours when you've set aside 2 hours of your week. Anyway, yeah. I just thought of that when you were talking about that earlier.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So Carolyn, up in Seattle, what do you have for us and what you've learned that might benefit you going forward?
This will be useful for snow days. Now that we know what to do.
For sure.
So that's in the past. That's and also some of the classes that like a higher level math, some of the teachers start doing 2 days. They were doing 2 days on and off, like, you know, but then they're doing it 2 days just to help the kid to get through and as a smaller class. So, I mean, I would say this is just to know, you know, what we can do if we need it. I mean, the learning curve is done. So I think we have teachers that know what we're willing to do and not. You know, again, like everybody say, we just have to leave it to God. I mean, this is His ministry, not ours. So we can speculate, but at the end, it's, you know, we also, you know, it's just a lot of questions. Everybody have questions, but I mean, it's just about how we just leave it to God. So that's certain point, we just have to say we have to see what God had planned. It's nothing that we can think about. Yeah.
Well, thank you. All right. One final question that I just have to ask. Some people listening might not know Homeschool Life offers websites that co-ops can use to support their groups. And we would love to learn what Homeschool Life features have been most helpful in tackling the challenges that you faced in this season. Heather Risden from Illinois.
I think Carolyn just made an excellent point that one benefit to all of this is that our students just might become accustomed to interacting with their teachers and their classmates 2 to 3 days a week instead of just the one co-op day, because she's absolutely right that one day for physics or math makes it very difficult to have a comprehensive class. That's something we've always noticed. I have been using this time to experiment with Homeschool Life's classroom dashboard, and I love that it offers these tools now that you had to do in a slapdash fashion before. So like the classroom forum, I would love if we could have students post something and then 2 days later respond to their classmates instead of trying to cram everything into that 1 hour of co-op. So I'm really looking forward to exploring the dashboard. So I do want to give a plug to Homeschool Life for that. We feel that, you know, they're for homeschoolers and we trust them not to abuse our data. So that's one big advantage. And I think the other third-party tools can always be used as supplements until, you know, maybe at one point wink, wink, homeschool life will add, you know, a streaming feature. But until they do, I have no problem running Discord in the background and then using the classroom dashboard. So that's the one thing I'm the most, I'm excited that it rolled out, and I look forward to using it and implementing it.
Thank you, Heather. All right, Heather Kohler in New Jersey.
Yeah, so we love the forums. We use them constantly to keep ourselves on top of all the news and what's happening in co-ops. Each one of our classes has their own forum, and so they've really utilized them to do assignments, to talk back and forth about things, and to keep the parents updated on how they're going forth with the class and classroom work. So they've been a real help. A couple other things we've used on the website since we've not been able to meet is that we put an icon up there for prayer, so people can send their prayer requests on our website, which is really a nice feature. And so we've been able to get the prayer requests directly to the people that are running the prayer meetings. So that's been helpful. And then the other thing that we've been doing is we've been using the website to display a lot of the pictures throughout the year. So we'll have people like, hey, this week, let's focus on take some pictures of your kids talking on their Zoom meetings, or let's have a spirit week this week and do crazy hair for your kids and take the pictures and send them in to our yearbook staff. And then they post them right on the website so that families can feel even more connected, just seeing what everyone's doing right on our homepage. And they can scroll through all the pictures of their classes through the year, as well as the fun things we're doing each week at home separated. And so that's been really fun for all the kids to kind of see everybody and kind of connect in that way. So the website's been really helpful as far as continuing the connection that we have with each other.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. I'm glad that's been helpful. Julia. In Florida.
Yeah, so two things. One, what Heather said, using the class forum has been so helpful with staying connected between teachers and students. And then me as the director, I'm able to just broadcast to everybody at one time. So that has been really helpful. And then the other one is the classroom dashboard. We absolutely love that, so that students are able to upload their, or the teachers are able to upload their assignments, and then the teachers are also able to record their grades, the students' grades, so the students have to upload their assignments, whether it's their math assignment or their writing assignment. So they have to upload that onto their classroom dashboard, which each student gets, and then the teachers are able to see all of that and then grade it and then put that in the grading log on the classroom dashboard. So that feature has been really beneficial for us since we can't meet physically.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you for Homeschool Life. We are absolutely loving it.
Well, I'm so happy. Thank you. Rebecca in Arizona.
I just have to say exactly the same as far as the dashboard. We have parents, you know, that we learned how to use it as it was rolled out, teachers, and that are very comfortable with it. And they prefer doing that versus, you know, doing a Google Classroom or a Zoom if they're not comfortable with that. They have their dashboard and they're still posting assignments and using the forum to communicate. And the kids are sending assignments back into them and they're communicating that way. So just to be able to have that access to the teacher like that has just been, it's been a godsend. It's so nice that they're willing to do that and that they have that avenue to be able to communicate. And then this probably doesn't have much to do right now with just COVID, but behind the scenes, like from an administrative standpoint, one thing that I really love and like being able to get information, like we've been looking at our class and like how much money we have left in the classes versus like what the teachers have spent, and being able to pull information. The Excel spreadsheets that we can get information from have just been amazing. Like to be able to just be able to pull information quickly and have that so we can look at that and we can look at numbers is awesome.
I'm glad you're a numbers person, Rebecca. Carolyn, what about you up in Seattle?
So definitely the classroom dashboard assignment part, where it'd be able to upload homeworks and for teacher to see individual one.
Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. Wow, guys, we covered a lot of ground. It's been some time here, and I really appreciate you taking the time so very much. I want to leave us with this thought that we get to walk into the unknown with the knowledge that we can trust the one that is leading us into our unknown. Each group, each of you guys represented here, and each of them listening, each family, each person has a different path. And I'm just so grateful that you guys have taken the time to share with us what God has been giving you. And I want to just encourage us to continue to seeking his wisdom and knowledge, but also taking the time to seek that knowledge and wisdom from others as we go. But as you go and make decisions for your family, for your groups, for your individual needs, that you may trust most in his voice. And you guys have covered that so well, of just recognizing the need for him to be our one that we are really listening to. So I pray that you go forth with the confidence of his knowledge and his trust for his path for you. As a representative of Homeschool Life, we feel so privileged to serve the homeschooling community. We are homeschoolers who are also serving the homeschooling community, and I just feel so blessed for you guys to have taken the time to be with me. So with this Homeschool Life saying goodbye, with all the best wishes for an amazing homeschool experience this coming year, please reach out and ask us for help, and if you need some suggestions. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.